Welcome to Big Foamy Head Show 82, the red, white, black, and blue all over show. Blind Mississippi Morris, Beale Street tonight. He's our special musical guest, and we've got special beers, and we got even more guests here in the beer studio. We're joined tonight by Steve and Michael Barzizza. And Steve, you've heard us mention before. Steve's been on the show via recording at some of the festivals we've been at, and he finally made it down here. We're glad to have you, Steve.
Well, thank you for having me tonight, Dick. I don't think you're going to be able to get rid of me, though, with all these good munchies, good beer, good company, good blues. Doesn't get any better than this.
That's right. And we have got some crazy beers. If you heard, we usually, you know, we got like this theme on the title of the shows. We'll say the something brewery show or the something type of beer show. And this is a little different because these are a little different beers. They're from one of my favorite brewers, Dogfish Head. My current most favorite beer is the Dogfish Head 90 Minute. Love the 90 Minute. Always have. And I've always been fascinated by the really good beers they pump out. But I'm used to their super hoppy ones, the 120, the 90. And I knew they did some odds and ends. I had the raison d'etre. But I came across these beers, and it's like, wow, this is just crazy. And their slogan, which should have tipped me off, is off-centered ales for off-centered people.
Fits you to a T, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I know, Steve, you carry, and because everybody doesn't know, you're the distributor here. You're the distributor for good beers.
Well, right? Thank you.
As far as I know.
At least that's what I tell everybody.
You do not distribute mass quantities of rat piss.
No, we're the specialty portfolio book here in Memphis, Tennessee, and we're lucky enough, as you said, unique. If unique is what you seek, Dogfish Head is one of my favorite breweries because of the unique style that they have. They're definitely not afraid to think outside the box.
Yeah, and I think these are some examples, and we'll just go ahead and get into our first beer. This is one called Dogfish Head Red and White. That's the part of the red and white, black and blue all over. So Red and White is an interesting beer, and let me read the marketing splodge on the label here. It says Red and White Malt Beverage, which kind of creeped me out at first. It didn't say beer. Malt beverage brewed with coriander and orange peel with Pinot Noir juice concentrate added with 11% aged in Pinot Noir barrels and 89% aged on oak barrel staves. So they oak it, they barrel it, and then they blend it all together and finish it some more, and then they bottle it.
There's a lot of flavors going on.
It's all kinds. Yeah. This is a combination of wine and beer. I was kind of spooked about trying it, and they called it malt beverage, which concerned me.
Well, at least they didn't call it malt liquor.
Malternatives.
Malternatives. I almost said malternatives.
Well, Dick, this is what's so good about Dogfish Head is that they do produce a unique style of beer, for years. The definition of beer was lager-style beer.
Yeah.
And things have changed since the 70s when the big revolution started in the beer business. And people are learning to drink these beers not for as far as the hammering of beer, going out and drinking a 12-pack of beer. These beers are to be savored. They're to be enjoyed like a great wine, to be enjoyed with food. And these beers just really shout out to step over the edge.
And this is kind of beer, I was anxious to try this because I had this feeling, and I was right, this would be a gateway beer for people who didn't know about craft beers, microbrews, who... My wife, I always use her as the example because she says, it tastes like beer. Well, that, to us, doesn't compute, right? We don't know about it tastes like beer. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, she just said it doesn't taste like wine.
Yeah. So this is just a really interesting beer. And I've told her there are beers out there you'd swear you were drinking wine or fruit juice or something like that. There's all these brewings of it. But this is a beer. And it is, I was pulling it up on a rate beer here because this is one of those that isn't always, because of the type of beer it is, it isn't always received well by those people who still aren't beer enthusiasts, but they think a beer is still a beer and it should be very bold or very malty. And this is not really either one. This is kind of a difference.
Oh, it's a delightful taste.
It's very nice. And
I still get a little malt and seems like the candy flavor.
Okay, you're picking that up. And that's because this is, I had it backwards. I thought this was the coriander. This is a Belgian strong ale style. Mm-hmm. It's not. I thought this is the wit. It is a wit. Okay, the rate beer is going crazy on me. Up at top, they said a Belgian strong ale. At the bottom, a big Belgian style wit. It is a wit. It's a red Pinot Noir wit, okay. The white beer. Brewed with coriander and orange peel, pretty typical of the wit beers, which are light, refreshing beers. Some people dump fruit in it and make it, a nice little beer cocktail. Uh-huh. So this, they put the fruit in there and brewed it up, the Pinot Noir, and this rates a 92.
Wow, that's great.
So that's pretty good. 240 ratings. The average out of... This is 3.67 out of 5 rating, so it's rates very high. And as far as alcohol, it's got a little bit of that too, 10%.
Yeah,
to be
when I first started drinking this, I really didn't care for it that much because it had so much carbonation. But now that the carbonation has kind of calmed down, mm-hmm. it's a lot more drinkable. So I would suggest pouring it in a glass, let it sit just a minute, and then kind of partake.
Yeah.
And well, it's very, very good.
I was goofing around when I opened it earlier. I said, I'm going to let it decant for a minute. But it's not such a bad thing. And we pulled this out of the refrigerator because this is another one of those beers that, you don't need to chill it up till it's like almost a block of ice to kill the taste. This is one you want to...
You want to taste
it. You want to taste it, right?
Very tasty beer.
So it's very good stuff. Great job.
What got them into doing this style? You have any idea?
Well, they experiment. Mm-hmm. They love doing crazy stuff. And it doesn't matter what it is. They just take something and run with it. It's like the 120. They said, well, let's see how much hops we can jam into it.
Uh-huh.
See what happens. Some of the beers we got coming up are more examples. Well, let's throw this in.
So this is like a Frankenstein beer, huh?
It is. And but there is, of course, thought put into this, uh-huh. right? They say, well, what can we take? And I think for a wit beer, this pairs well. They're more refreshing beers, and I think this is a very interesting direction. I've only had one other wine-based beer. Russian River does one, and I forget the name of it, Redemption or something like that. Man, it's like drinking a grape.
Hmm.
So this, honestly, I think is a little better blending of the two.
And in that 750 bottle, it's a great way to consume this with a nice meal because it gives it that taste of wine. And I'm so glad you brought that up because that's what I've been pushing, and I educate people too. There's just as many varieties of styles of beer out there and taste profiles as they are of wine.
I would say there's even more. I mean, there's too many variations on beer compared to a wine.
Exactly. I mean, I've been in the business for 13 years, and just see what we've seen in 13 years happen in the beer industry. The Europeans and have been in these styles in the 750s, the different styles of beer. It's just so much fun being in this business right now,
especially with guys like
Sam brewing great products like he does at Dogfish.
Yeah. I mean, this is February. It's that new.
Mm-hmm.
It's been out, what, 4 months?
Well, is a person going to be able to go to a restaurant and order this with a meal?
Not here in Memphis.
Not here.
Let me defend myself before we get started. A lot of beer breweries all over the country, the microbreweries, they'll have a lot of different styles of beer that they sell. I'm in Memphis, Tennessee, and we're learning to crawl before we walk, walk before mm-hmm. we run, as far as the styles go. The more people get used to it, we've only been in this business in Memphis for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, one of our local politicians changed the law. We couldn't get a 13.2 gallon keg in the state of Tennessee. One of the reasons being one of our illustrious governors back then, Mr. McWhorter, is a Budweiser beer distributor. So it was very convenient for him to keep the competition out for a while. And we had another politician closer here to Memphis that had a liking to Guinness, which is in a 13.2 50 liter keg. And he wanted to have his Guinness here in Memphis, and thank goodness he did it because he helped put us in business.
All right.
But which gives us the opportunity to bring in the European portfolio that we have.
Well, with this Dogfish Head beer, like these special beers, and you put them in a restaurant, you know, when you go and you spend the money on a meal and you want something kind of normal that you're used to, what's going to entice somebody to reach out on that menu and grab this? I mean, education, I guess, is the key. But
the pairings and tastings, there's some here locally. There's mm-hmm. some every so often you'll get a nice, like Steve, you do the thing at the Fresh Market, and you've got the odd festival or beer tasting, wherever anybody lets you through the door.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go through and set up somewhere people can sample it with different foods and
okay.
But everywhere else in the world, it's pretty commonplace. You got a lot of opportunities to go and see.
We're in the education business. I tell my salesmen that they're not salesmen when they sell beer; they're educators.
Right.
And we have to educate. And like Dick said, we go out to the Fresh Market grocery store and do pairings with foods at those events. We have a big festival coming up in September, the Dixon Art on Tap.
Yeah.
Restaurants. I'll give you a little bit, and I'm not going to bore you all night with my beer stories, but I'm working on a white linen restaurant beer menu. And that's one thing that you have to do is get people and put it in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, you know, you have a wine list, you have a martini list. You know, let's go out and have a
beer
list.
And
I always say life's too short to drink good beer. Thank goodness for the people at Warsteiner to come up for that. But, mm-hmm. yeah, it's true. It's let people know that you have it. Give them an option. Again, you know, people are just learning beer.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I started drinking wine back in the 1968-69. Had a choice of Lancer's Rosé and Blue Nun and Matus.
Or the ever popular Screw Top.
Right.
Yeah, Wild Irish Rose.
Yeah, the Boone's Farm.
Wild Irish Rose.
And you'd go into restaurants and they'd have those three choices, and now you go into an average size restaurant, it has a 50-bottle wine
list.
Yeah.
The
beer is more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's more punch for your buck.
Beer is kind of thought as a lesser.
It is
a lesser.
It's,
yeah,
the power of the power of advertising,
worker class.
It is. It is a lower class. It's a blue collar beer.
Uh-huh.
Right? But you got to look back on the origins of all this, right?
Right.
That when way back when the oldest recipe that we know is for beer,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in the Fertile Crescent, Mesopotamia, right there, part by the Nile. Acres and acres of red wheat as far as the eye could see. And mm-hmm. some genius discovered you can make beer with this. And they went nuts and burned up all the wheat making beer. And they ran out of wheat. They couldn't make any more beer.
And they
starved
to
palms.
Death.
They had palm trees laying around and said, well, let's see what this tastes like if we ferment it. And thus became wine.
Okay.
Well, they had palm trees, a lot of beach. They needed some beer.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, wine is what you drink when you run out of beer. And we all forget that.
And then the Trappist monks came.
The Trappist monks and their circuses. Touring the land.
That's kind of an inside joke here.
The Trappist monks will never go away.
Hey, listen, I've been selling a lot of Paul Mason Chablis in my time, so I understand completely.
Yeah, I remember the champagne, the Jack Bonnet champagne.
Uh-huh.
$3 gets you a good bottle of champagne.
You better believe it. You better believe it. As long as they buy it is all I care about.
That's
anyway.
That's right. As long as the check clears. We got more good beers. We've got our Blind Mississippi Morris interview. The guy you were listening to at the start of the show, he's got a little trouble. We're going to tell you about it. But let's enjoy a little bit more of Blind Mississippi Morris. This he's got a new CD coming out. It's not released yet. We're playing tracks from his CDs. You Know I Like That. And let's listen to the title cut. You Know I Like That, Blind Mississippi Morris.
While the moon is shining bright. the love of me, woman. You know it ain't nobody but you. Whoa, you.
So we got a report in for Rick. See, on the other end of the phone, tell us how things are going out in the wilderness of Colorado. Rick?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good.
Rick. Doing good, Rick.
Missing you. I wish I were there.
Well, we wish you were here, too, to enjoy. So we got these big bottles of beer, and we got a real high-test beer that you have there. And you're going to man up and drink what six of us are going to drink. you're going to drink it all yourself.
That's the $8 bottle of beer.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one coming up.
Quite nice. And right now I'm drinking the Immortale from Dogfish Head.
And I mentioned that you were getting into that. This is another one of those crazy beers. And did you get a chance to look that up on Rate Beer?
Yes, I did, actually. RateBeer.com. It's a fantastic site.
It is. It's a guide to life, isn't it?
It is. You can pretty much look up everything.
That's right. I mean, power boats, weightlifting equipment, and beer.
I get my lotto numbers from Rate Beer.
That's right. They have that automatic lotto. Right. And isn't it like 90% of all people who pick their lotto numbers from Rate Beer win?
They're winners.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Okay. Let's do some business. Dogfish Head and Mordale. It's got 97%. It's 11% alcohol by volume. Rate Beer's listing is a barley wine.
Really?
Brewed by Dogfish Head Brewery.
I'm looking on Dogfish site. They don't tend to put styles down.
It's called a strong ale.
Yeah. So Rate Beer's classified as barley wine, and have you got the marketing?
And you know what? I have to agree with Rate Beer on this one. Well, who wouldn't agree with Rate Beer?
Yeah, that's right. Don't sure. question the Rate Beer.
It says it's fast in character, luscious and complex. Brewed with peat smoked barley, the strong ale is brewed with organic juniper berries, vanilla and maple syrup, aged on oak and fermented with a blend of English and Belgian yeast.
And that's just a weird combination of flavors. Who would have thought that up? Juniper berries, because that's what you
juniper
make.
Juniper berries, that's the ingredient of gin. Right?
Yes, gin. That's what you make gin out of. So juniper berries, maple syrup, and vanilla.
Vanilla and maple syrup, those are very common in the dark ale.
Somebody had a nightmare or a wild dream or something.
Or knocked over stuff in the kitchen.
Yeah, could have. Yeah.
Walking through. Well, would it go good with pancakes or donuts? That's what we want to know.
This is what happened when you have a hyperactive brewer.
Well, you were talking about the Reese's Cup, how they came up with the Reese's Cup.
Peanut butter and the chocolate. Yeah, you remember that commercial with the Reese's Cup where the guy eating his chocolate is walking down the hall and the other guy with the peanut butter and they smack into each other and they discover that? I think that's what happens all the time. Yeah. Dogfish Ale. People are just carrying stuff and they smack into each other and they say, hey, let's put this in a beer.
Okay, you guys, we're playing the musical chairs and here's the brew kettle. And you have this ingredient. So if you don't get a chair, you got to drop your ingredient in.
Well, that's it. The musical chair theory of beer brewing. Okay.
Yeah.
Why not? Well, so you're out there and you got to go here recently to an event that's right.
I was spending the corporate funds from Big Foamy Head.
Yeah. Is our stipend enough for you to live on? You've moved out of the hostel and into, I believe we upgraded you to a Super 8 motel.
Well, I'm out from under the bridge.
Okay, well, good.
Into the Y.
Good. Okay, good. Into the Y. You're conserving funds, and we appreciate that.
Well, he gets to drink more.
That's right. Yeah. Save your money for beer.
Well, I got down to Colorado Springs on Saturday, and they had an event called the Foam Fest.
Right.
And I was kind of leery about it. It was the first annual. Basically, it ended up being in a strip mall in Colorado Springs, very close to NORAD, which always makes me nervous because it's a new
missiles and beer. What could go wrong?
Well, NORAD's about the first place it's going to get nuked, you know.
Yeah.
You're vapor if you're there.
Yeah.
I try to avoid Colorado Springs, but
you'll never know what hit you.
Cause.
Don't they, like, sell T-shirts with targets on them, make it easier for the...
They ought to, in Russia.
That's right.
Point your new team.
Make it easy for the Koreans and Russians to target you if you're wearing a big red bullseye.
All right, enough geopolitics. So the strip mall was, like, maybe 10, 15 miles off the interstate. I thought it was lost. As a matter of fact, I did get lost. Well, when I finally got there, it was in the middle of a parking lot by a brew pub restaurant called Old Chicago. And they had roped off the parking lot, and they had a bunch of these pup tents, you know?
Yeah.
And then we...
Little bitty tents, yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, well, this is kind of a letdown. You know, there's maybe 50 people meandering around. But then I got in there, and they had some fantastic breweries. They had at least 30 breweries there. Now, somewhere in a big foamy head T-shirt, and I got my business cards, and I'm out there schmoozing with the representatives. And so I ran into the New Belgium Brewery, Flying Dog, Boulder Beer Company, Left Hand Brewing Company, Breckenridge, Cobb Brewing, Fort Collins Brewing, Bristol Brewing, and Odell Brewing Company.
And so these are all local brewers.
These guys
are
all sitting in this parking lot along with maybe 50 people, patrons at this time. So it was some fantastic beer.
Now, and these guys, they're all like right there around the region,
yeah,
with right?
about two or three beers each, and, you know, it was all the sampling you could possibly manage, you know.
Well, yeah. did many more people show up?
Because you know? I was trying to still be standing by the time I got to the end of the line.
Oh, so you didn't do, they weren't doing the little two-ouncers, you punch your
it
ticket
was.
And you're done?
It was a small sample glass, but even with that, you know, 3 times 30.
Yeah, okay.
Like samples.
Yeah. I guess it would add up.
Yeah, you kind of hammered it. Yeah. I actually had like a 5-hour sober up period, and I went and saw a movie.
Okay.
Hey, Rick, did many more people show up? Was it just about 50?
Yeah, it started to get a little more crowded. They had two bands playing, and good time.
Well, I hope really more than 50 people showed up, because there might not be a second annual.
Yeah.
Well, like you know how these things are. Yeah. It certainly wasn't to the scale of the Great Taste of the Midwest or... the Great American Beer Festival. But,
And you, you're going to go see or planning to go see the musical entertainment there at Red Rock, right, coming up?
That's right. I'm going to get my blues on. I'm going to go see Buddy Guy,
Chuba
Taylor, and our good friend George Thorogood
on
tonight at Red Rock.
That'll be fun.
That'll be awesome.
Well, you didn't get to hear...
I hired Puppy on Wednesday.
Yeah?
So I'll drag ass at work. But then Thursday, guess where I'm at?
Where?
National Homebrewers Convention.
Yeah, that's right. Nice. They're right there.
So and if you guys are doing a show on Thursday, I'm going to have a live report from the field at the National. It's club night there. So.
Ah, okay. Wow. Well, very good. Well, we are talking about going to see our local chapter, the Memphis Homebrew Club, here soon. Maybe that might be a good tie-in. We'll do that at the same time.
Hey, okay. Rick, I talked with
the State Brewers. Are they doing something on Thursday?
Yeah, we talked to Mid-South Malts and Mike Lee out there and talked about getting together and doing a show there and pulling in some of the homebrew guys. They had their, was it the regular meetings on the monthly meetings, but we'll try and tie all that together.
Now, Rick, as president of the club, you kind of avoid media attention.
So. Yeah, right. And, you know, we are the power of the media here at the Big Foamy Head Podcast.
Everybody wants
to make or break you. Don't piss us off. We'll bring you down.
Interviews you.
Yeah, everybody wants a piece of us. But the other night I was on the Internet and saw the L.A. Loggers out of Mobile. And I sent him an email, and he called me back today. And it's a homebrew club in Mobile, Alabama. And he actually is the... Brewmeister Hurricane Brewery down in Mobile.
Yeah, so that's a little different that you've got a brewery guy.
You ran a brewery in Huntsville, correct?
Yeah. That was Old Town Brewery.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to tell you, we had, and you missed out on this at the beginning of the show, but we got some more coming up, Blind Mississippi Mars. We finally got him on, and he's losing his house here. So we're putting a word out about making donations to help him keep his house and playing some of his music. And I don't know if he's going to get up to Colorado. He's right now worried about making the rent, much less plane fare. So
that's unfortunate about the old blues artist. You know, sometimes they're left by the wayside.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what we said. It's one of those things that, you know, you don't go into blues to get rich on. But so the Immort Ale, you give it a thumbs up. It's good stuff.
Oh, heck yeah.
Well, our Black and Blue.
What I will say, though, is that it's not quite like a Ralph beer.
Yeah.
That's smoked with the beechwood wood.
Yeah. Because this is peat smoked, right?
Peat is a little more harsh. It's more sharp.
Are you getting
it's
that kind of sharp?
Wine if you had Bigfoot barley wine, just imagine that a little more smoky. And
okay, so it's not like an overwhelming smoke on this, then?
No, but it's a little harsh.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to get some of that to do a comparison here. And on this side, we're drinking the Dogfish Black and Blue Belgian Strong Ale with
the blackberries and blueberries.
It's black raspberries and blueberries. It's a very interesting beer. We're enjoying this a lot. And actually, I think it's that's gone. What do you know?
Yeah, it's history.
Yeah. I had a surprise with you guys.
Yeah. Well, it went pretty quick, and a lot of people in here enjoying it. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, listen to another Blind Mississippi Morris 10, and come back and hit that raison d'extra.
D'extra.
She's got some business. Lord, it's the killing time. You better run. Yeah, you better hide. Yeah, you better find yourself some cover. Lord knows she's a killing kind. What you do, careful what you say, you better watch your step. The killing kind don't play, you better run. Yeah, you better hide. Yeah, you better find yourself some cover. Lord knows she's a killing.
killing kind.
That was Blind Mississippi Morris, Killing Kind. Very good. And wonderful example of the blues. And we're going to have an interview with Blind Mississippi Morris coming up here in just a second. And we've cracked our next beer of the night. This is Raison d'Extra, which is the amped up version, I believe is their words on here, of the raison d'etre, which, of course, a big foamy head. We're all about the existential philosophy. We're all up into Sartre. And so this is the raison d'etre, which means reason to be or to exist, if you will.
See?
And what more reason do you need than a good beer? This bulbous brown flavored ale was, yeah, the beer is working after what we've consumed 20-something percent of alcohol. The bulbous brown flavored ale was brewed with boatloads of big old raisins. It says old, O-L apostrophe, the correct spelling of old. Here on the bottle. Now this is a 12 ounce, right?
That's correct.
And we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people sipping on it, and we have a quarter of the bottle left. Let that be your guide.
This is not a guzzler.
Whereas Rick out there in the woods, because it's cold and his tent has a lot of holes in it.
He's under the bridge.
He's drinking the whole thing by himself. Well, that's no. He moved up to the Y.
Oh, that's right.
And I know that after we get this bottle into you, that community shower will be a whole lot easier to take. But so
don't drop the soap.
Yeah, please don't. And we'll send you that soap on a rope. Wear it around your neck.
I am Navy trained.
That's right. You've done this before. You know all about this.
I do.
It's a combat situation here. So, all right. So we've got this, and people have been sniffing it and making faces. What's the general feeling from the group? What are we smelling here?
It burns my eyes.
It burns your eyes.
Well, you got to wear safety goggles to drink this.
Oh, man. Well, you can smell alcohol, can't you?
Yes, you can.
It's not as sugary as I thought with a high alcohol content.
And it says brown sugar and a bunch of raisins,
it definitely tastes the raisins.
All I'm smelling is alcohol. This is I had this experience. I called Christy after this happened. I was in Panama City Beach where I bought these, and I got to fill up my car, my rental car, as I'm coming back. And I stick the hose in, and I started it up, and all of a sudden it started raining. And I thought, well, this is Florida, you know, flash rain and stuff. And then I noticed it was gas. Ooh. The hose had fallen off of the damn gas pump and was showering me with gas. And that's what this smells like. But that's what I had a flashback to earlier in the week, you know. It's got a very high alcohol nose. I'm getting just a little tiny bit of sugar, but not a whole lot. It's for such a high alcohol beer, it's still holding a lot of carbonation. All right, what's the taste like?
Well, it's got a little sweetness to it, like the candy sugar or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's not real bitter, but it's very drinkable.
It's got a brown sugar, but it finishes with a burn, an alcohol burn.
Yeah.
If the first sip, you get a little bit of sweet, and then it turns to burn.
Yeah, somebody said raisins a while ago. Yeah, you can really taste the raisins.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah,
Rick?
It's about raisins and alcohol.
Mm-hmm. How are you? What are you thinking of it?
Well, it's got a dark copper color, for one thing. No head.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. The first impression I got was very sweet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got raisins and the brown sugar. And then, like you said, it just, bam, there's the alcohol.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty much. You got a little more granular in it, though. And we're talking about what elapses over a second there and when you have it in your mouth and swallow it.
Right. It goes from sweet, raisins, sugar, or brown sugar taste, and then boom, alcohol.
Yeah.
Swallow, so.
And Claire is furiously writing notes on this as she's documenting all of this so we can put it on the website. And I think she's drank most of hers now. Claire, what do you think about all this?
Well, it's quite astringent, I think.
Astringent?
Yes,
yeah,
I would say quite word. Astringent. And I've noticed that the consistency is very thick, and it tends to stick to the side of the glass.
Would you say this is
as
a...
As you tilt it...
Is this a 10W30 or 50?
30.
30.
This is 30 wide, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, she's right.
That's motor oil.
No, I think it's gasoline.
Yeah,
I think
it does stink.
But
no,
you're wrong.
When
mower
want
on
this
it.
On the pancakes in the morning, despite the...
You don't think it go good on pancakes? Waffles, nestling in the little squares, cupping it gently.
I'll try it on
Andy's pancakes. That's right. Let's feed it to the child. Before we send her to Vacation Bible School. And they call home. It's like, you're going to have to come get your child.
She's just sleeping in the corner.
Yeah. Doesn't feel as harsh as that 120 IPA.
Yeah, it's not. And, you know, that's why I was kind of spooked about it, because it's got the 120 cap. Mm-hmm. It's got that toxic green cap on it. But, yeah, it's not. It's not a 120, but it's still... It's on up there. It's on up there. This is a sipper, not a gulper.
No.
Right?
So you got to wonder what's going through those guys' heads as they come up with these crazy beers, high alcohol and fruit and wine, et cetera. And Klaus from Dogfish Head has called in. Tell us a little bit about their philosophy behind these beers.
Well, I want to thank you very much for inviting me to be part of this this podcast, and to answer your question in regards to the philosophy and why we take on a unique approach in being able to make the beers that we do, really stems from the very beginning of our company when Sam Calagione, the owner, had started off a brew pub and had spent all the money to be able to not only open the restaurant, but to help change the laws in Delaware so that he could actually have a brewery. He didn't have enough money to buy a high-grade brew system, so he ended up using a home brew kit and brewing small batches, less than a keg at a time, to go up and be used on draft at the brew pub. With that became the philosophy that since he had to do a repetitive amount of kegs each day, sometimes four or five batches of beer just to be able to supply for the next day's run at the pub, he decided to start experimenting with trying to create something different. And the mindset came in to wandering through the kitchen and just grabbing whatever he wanted to and wondering if he could make beer taste a specific way rather than going back and studying the history of each style of beer and trying to copy it. It was more of, I wonder if I could add blueberries and ground pepper and rosemary, what would happen to a beer?
Well, so it's a lot of experimentation.
It was a lot of experimentation in the very beginning that started with a philosophy of really creating a unique style of brewing where you were going, I want the beer to taste like this, and then working your way back rather than moving forward saying, I'm going to produce this kind of beer and maybe I can adjust it to do these items. It was a completely refreshing and unique way of looking at brewing. And with it, it's something we still operate with today. Our latest beer that we've done test batches of and is going to be our new beer for 2008, actually on at our pub right now for people to try, called Palo Santo Marone. And once again, it was a philosophy of taste first and then work our way back. We found an exotic wood from South America that had a very unique herbal different smell, and we thought it would have a different impact when it was actually aged in beer, and it did. So we're the first people to ever use it in aging beer, and some of the first people ever to bring it into the U.S. So it was interesting, once again, philosophy and how we're going to start with being able to make make a beer. And from the items that you tried in your panel, you saw some of the experimentations and what came out of them. Ford is a great example of taking a raspberry beer that rather than trying to create a lambic and doing a Belgian-style raspberry lambic, we literally wanted to create a ale infused with over a ton of fresh raspberries and then give it a really unique high alcohol taste just to see what would come out of making the ultimate high-proof fruit beer.
Yes, it's an extreme fruit beer.
Yes. That, I'm looking forward to one where it's very hard to describe, but it's also a very dangerous beer because it doesn't, as a lot of our high-proof beers do, you don't realize what it's doing to you. It's, wow, this is really drinkable, and you can taste a little warmth, you can taste some of that alcohol burn on, but you don't realize that you're drinking basically 36-proof almost liquor.
That's a date beer there.
Yeah. It's absolutely a wonderful one. It goes extremely well with dark chocolate also.
I bet it does. Man, I can just imagine. Well, I was looking at the Palo Santo Marone, and I don't know how many people out there, I know the beer, really hardcore beer enthusiasts know that wood is actually an ingredient. It's right. Not so much that, and you mentioned it, and I'm pulling it up, that like wines are oaked,
right.
Inherit the characteristics of the barrels in a lot of beer brewing, you're actually dropping chunks of wood in to extract some of the flavor and aroma, and that's what you, this Palo Santo tree, I'm reading off your website,
right.
From Paraguay, it means holy tree,
right.
And been used by South American winemakers.
Right.
So this has a. This is not just something that Sam found in the lumberyard.
No. This is currently, because the wood is so dense, for the test slabs that we got, it was probably 4 to 5 times heavier than the same slice of oak or pine would be. It's a very, very thick, dense wood. It's a beautiful, beautiful shade of green all the way through.
Wow.
And we're actually looking at possibly doing 300-barrel oak age fermenters. No, well, actually, they would be more aging tanks that we're going to possibly put next to our brew house made out of Palo Santo.
Wow.
In the new year.
Now, I've got two questions for you. The first question was about the black and blue label. And I noticed that the painting on there, and on the website, you devoted an entire page to the artwork for the red and white and the black and blue.
Right.
And the black and blue, is that Sam on the label?
No, it's, we never did quite get from the artist who was being referenced there. I think it's one of the artist friends that utilizing. We had some people were saying he looked, trying to figure out exactly if there was some celebrity or something that was being done on it. The artist is the husband and wife team, but the husband is quite famous in this area. He's done a lot of political figures. He's done some actual portraits for powerful people in D.C. and is a big fan of Dogfish Head. That's where a lot of artists come into our fold, is everything from punk rock-style artists all the way to the artist that did Red, White, Black, and Blue, who's a classically trained portrait artist. The common thread is they're big Dogfish fans. They bump into Sam somewhere along the lines. And Sam likes to change up about every 2 to 3 beers, have a different artist they bring in to do their interpretation of the new beers that we're doing for the new year. So hopefully next year in 2008 with the two new products, we'll find another artist that's a fan of Dogfish that we can utilize for something completely different than the next evolution of labels.
Well, I have my theory about it. I like the subtle humor of it. It's a painting of, it's a parody of the Blue Boy.
Correct.
And he has a black eye.
Exactly. That's the subtle, and one of the things that's typical of Dogfish and its off-center thinking is that if you peel away a few levels of it, you'll find a bit of light, sarcastic, dry humor that is prevalent throughout the brewery.
Yeah, and I thought that was I thought that was very interesting to find that. It's like you know, like your beers, like you just said, you try them and then you try them again. You look a little closer and taste a little more, and there's all kinds of stories in your beer and now on your labels too.
Right. We're the people work here at the brewery are some of our biggest fans of what Dogfish is trying to do, and we want to be able to keep that excitement going. We're the best examples of, if we get excited about it, we know hopefully our customers will, because we've all given up other things that we were doing in the beer world to come to Dogfish to hopefully keep what we started here going and going in the right direction. We have a philosophy of making it better as we get bigger rather than less human as it gets bigger.
Very nice. Well, I appreciate you giving us all the time, and we look forward to trying the new releases. The Festina Pesh is coming out here soon, which we're looking forward to getting here in Memphis. And
I'm gonna warn people on that one that it's a very refreshing and tart beer. It's one of those beers that the first sip or two, you're gonna go, wow, this is tart, almost sour. It's clean. It's refreshing. It's almost like a cross between a sour lemonade and a cider style beer. And then about the third or fourth sip, you start going, wow, this is really tasty. And the next thing you know, you finish the four pack.
I am looking forward to that. It sounds great. I'm really just the new beers that y'all have come out with are just all spectacular, and looking forward to even more.
Well, if I interject one last comment, I wanted to find what your opinion was of M-Ward. It's one of my personal favorites from our 26 different beers that we do. What did you think of M-Ward?
I did not get to have it. Rick did. He was on the other end of the interview, and he loved it. He finished it all, and he's paying for it a little bit today, but he could not stop talking about how good it is.
Well, to me, I lovingly call it the single malt scotch beers because it's basically made up of the same ingredients that go into a single malt scotch. It's peat smoked barley. It's, in this case, American oak. It's got vanilla beans. It has fresh maple syrup from the New England area. And from that, you get a real unique characteristic. Very smoky, very peaty, just like a good classic single malt. And the wonderful thing about it is the more that it ages out, the better it gets. And that's not many brewers can say that well over half of our portfolio is going to get better the older it gets. And we actually cellar a lot of our product away for many years and bring it out for promotions. We'll bring out a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old 120 or worldwide stout for an event just to show people how wonderful the beers can actually get as they age.
Well, we're big fans of smoked beers, anything smoked. And Rick, that was the thing that he was remarking on, that it wasn't over the top, and he really thought it was well done. The amount of smoke in there, and combined with the other flavors, it was just like a medley of flavors that as you drank it.
Well, I know there in Memphis there's a lot of good barbecue, and nothing goes with good smoked barbecue than good smoked beer.
Absolutely right. Well, Klaus, we sure appreciate you giving us some time, and I know we'll be talking to you again soon when we get on to our next round of Dogfish.
Well, appreciate it. Please let me know what I can be able to help with, and let all of your people that are listening in know that we're more than happy to answer any questions. You can send them to dogfish.com or directly to me at klaus@dogfish.com.
All right. Thanks a lot, Klaus. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Good words from Dogfish. Always good to hear from the brewer and get a little background on how these beers are made. And as usual, find out that these great brewers started as great home brewers, and all the more reason to get into home brewing, learn a little bit more about the beer, just try something different. I thought it was kind of funny how what we were saying earlier about gateway beers, that Klaus refers to them as bridge beers. So different views on the same subject.
Well, let's take a break for a second and listen to the Blind Mississippi Morris interview. It was a real treat to have a genuine blues artist call in here. You've been enjoying his music all this time. And again, we're going to repeat during the interview the number. You know, it only cost a couple of dollars to help a brother out. And this guy, he needs all the help he can get. This is the real deal. He's not making any money off of this. He's just trying to keep the lights on and a roof over his head. So here's Blind Mississippi Morris. To holler at you, and then here you go popping up in the news.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, that's right. What's going on with that?
The city been trying to get me for a while, get my house, you know, by way of sits at I-40.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That
next to I-40 Interstate, that's my neighbor, you know.
Yeah, and that wasn't exactly reported in the paper. They just said...
No, they ain't going to tell you everything.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the story on that?
Well, we're trying to hold it together. We're trying to collect enough money to pay all the little soffit work that they want me to do, and you know, do everything they want me to do, and everybody be happy.
Well, that's good. And you got a lot of support. It seems to be, since this story came out, community support.
Yeah, it's a lot of community support, and I thank everybody, man.
And Dr. Flynn, who's a local blues enthusiast, radio station owner, he has set up a rescue fund, it says here.
Yes.
And I'm going to read this off to you. It's the Mississippi Morris Rescue Fund. Anybody wants to donate can send in their checks, and no amount is too large. To 188 South Bellevue, that's Bellevue, Suite 222, Memphis, Tennessee, 38104.
Yeah.
Or call it in at 901-516-8956. And we'll just get this all squared away, and so you won't have people come and try and take your house away. They just don't treat you like rock stars, do they?
They don't treat you right, man. And I love the city, and I love my people here. You know, I love the city, man. I enjoy doing things. I do a lot of fundraisers too, man.
Yeah, I know you're going to be appearing at Blues on the Bluff for Weevil,
right?
Community radio station here. What is it next month? I know it's there's one in August.
Right.
Yeah, that's we're looking forward to it, and you know, get all this nasty business behind us. Now, I hear you got a new CD out or coming out.
Yes.
And is it released?
Well, it hadn't been released yet.
Okay.
But I have a lot of them, though. I probably have some of them at the Blues Jam. So, you know, everybody want to hear a little me or take a little me home and support the cause. I would certainly appreciate it. I really would. You know?
Well, we're playing some of your music tonight to give them just kind of a taste of some real Memphis and Beale Street music, and you know, being from here, I know it when I hear it. And this is really, I mean, you sum it all up in your records. You are singing Beale Street right there.
Thank you.
I was just playing Beale Street tonight from your earlier CD, and that's I mean, that's it. That's what you hear when you go down there. You captured it.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I know we've talked to other blues artists, and they talk about how blues is kind of a funny business because the people who are, let's say, some of the better known blues players, they're not really living in lavish castles or driving lots of expensive cars. It's not a really well-paying deal. You do it because you love it, not because you're trying to get rich off
right.
of it.
That's it. Let's do it because you love the music. I came up in it, and it's just like a tradition. My family did it. Now I'm doing it. And I hope one of the kids or some of the grandchildren pick it up and carry it on after I'm gone.
And you got a cousin who knew a thing or two about blues, too, right?
Willie, yeah.
Yeah, Willie. We've featured him before. We love playing some of his songs that the rock and roll guys get and turn into big hits. And nobody seems to remember this is Willie Dixon music.
Well, that's right. That's right. Well, they only remember that as it become popular all over again.
That's right.
Yeah. They never remember the root of it.
And I guess, you know, that's why we try and bring a little bit of that on the show and bring it up, because it's something that's still alive today. This is music that, you know, fads and trends in music come and go. Blues has been around forever.
That's right. It's not going anywhere. As long as there's people like me and many others that dedicate their lives to singing and appreciating the music, you know, and it happened to be blues, you know, and it. You know, you can find people playing it on cans. You can find them playing it on one-string diddly bows or drums even, you know. Whatever it may be, they belting out the blues.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And the other thing that we always say is the best way to hear blues is live.
That's right.
You got to get in front of it. It doesn't matter how good it sounds on the music we play. It's even better live.
Oh, live. It sends the energy through you. You just couldn't even... You couldn't even kind of believe it. You don't even believe it's happening to you.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of live, where is the this next show going to be in Memphis? When and where?
Well, the next live show we're going to do is going to be at BB's on Sunday, this coming Sunday.
Oh, wow.
5 to 8.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be probably three of us, a bass player, my guitar player, Brad Webb. A well-established, those two guys, Danny Cochran and Brad Webb, those are two well-established musicians around this area.
Yeah, that's and your band is the Pocket Rockets, right?
Right.
Yeah, and Brad has been around for a while.
Well, you know, Brad been around here, man. He done played with everybody and did sessions with everybody. Just about done picked up an instrument. Yeah, he's well rooted.
So you got that, and I think there's a fundraiser also going on at Neil's, the Memphis Blues Memphis Blues Society. They're having their blues night at Neil's
on Thursday
the 21st. Then we've got the Weevil event, and you're keeping busy these days.
Well, I try to, you know, because that's what I love to do, play music, you know. I don't charge people for the music. It's just getting around and carrying the stuff. The music's free.
Well, it's good stuff, and we hope all this gets behind. As I understand it, the house and your goal originally was to fix the house up and have it where you're going to do some recording there. And
well, teaching kids, you know, trying to get, tap into the children of the community. And anywhere else if I can find them that's interested in doing something besides, you know, mischief and going to jail.
Yeah, and that, you know, I know that seems to be a trend or something because Stax, since they've been rebuilt, they're doing that too. They've got their section where they're bringing the kids in and teaching them about the blues, introducing them to all this music, and letting them experiment and learn, and it's been nothing but success.
Well, it takes Stax, me, and a whole lot more because the city is big and it's full of people. And they need this just about in every growing city. Because we're sure the city grows, so is crime if there's no foundation there.
Are you familiar with the Bridges Center?
No, not the Bridges Center. I'm not familiar with that.
They do a lot for the youth, you know, when they're after school. They have a lot of projects for them. They help them get training for jobs and things like that here in the city. That might be a good one to tap into.
Yeah, I love that, yeah.
Well, it's a very charitable cause, and I think if more people hear about this, it seemed to have not made it to the paper, which I think is kind of bad. They did have, you know, at least you got some good coverage, and there is the help number there, and I think we're going to see a lot of community response, and wish you the best of luck, and look forward to seeing you here soon, probably Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm going to do my best to get out there.
All right. Well, Morris, we sure appreciate you giving us some time.
Man, it's always a pleasure, man. And that Shay is a fine young man.
Yeah, he is. He's good.
A fine young man.
All right. Thanks a lot, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Great interview with Blind Mississippi Morris. And again, that address, Mississippi Morris Rescue Fund, 188 South Bellevue, Suite 222, Memphis, Tennessee, 38104. Or call them, 901-516-8956. Ask for Brittany, Heidi, or Dr. Flynn. They're the ones driving this, and it's a good cause. You know, a couple of dollars ain't going to kill you. Keep the lights on for the guy, and you've enjoyed some of his music. We got one more song coming up. We're finishing up our Raison d'Extra, and it's an extra potent beer, isn't it? Man, this will curl your hair. Mike's got an afro going.
Man, I mean, I'm getting warm and rosy, let me tell you.
It's not something you can't pound this down.
Mm-mm.
Jeez. Oh, man.
No, it's a sipper.
That third sip will kill you. So, good stuff. And so, Rick, what else? You got anything else coming up?
Just National Homebrewers Convention. I'm looking forward to running into some of the industry guys. And, you know, maybe James Spencer will be there. It'll be kind of fun chatting him up.
Absolutely. Yeah, we hadn't talked to James in a while. We still have some of those beers standing by that James sent us. So we need to crack open here. That might be a nice one to have during these the Homebrew Fiesta show. It sounds like we're going to have to do coming up.
Agreed.
So good stuff. Great interview. Fantastic music. We're going to leave out with Blind Mississippi Morris. And this song is Highway 61. And that is one of the roads that as you travel down it crosses, is it 44? That's the crossroads, 49? Is the crossroads where you can sell your soul to the devil for, I guess, either the talent to sing
whatever
a great blues song or
whatever deal you make.
Whatever, probably, I think the Dogfish Head guys might have made a trip down there to make some of these crazy beers.
Because they made some damn fine beers, let me tell you.
Off-centered ales for off-centered people, good beers and good music. And thanks for everybody coming out. We'll see you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back and see us.
let me tell you, a low-down thing or two. What in the world, poor me, you gonna do another junkyard dog? Yeah, the world is full of junkyard dogs. Yeah, I'm wondering what in the world we gonna do. Cause sooner or later it's gonna get to me and you. Standing on the corner, Third and Bill, when a man drove up in a coupe and bill, looking for a junkyard dog. Yeah, another junkyard dog. Yeah, I'm wondering what in the world we gonna do. Cause sooner or later it's gonna get to me and you. What you want, man? She just don't care. Another junkyard dog. Yeah, another junkyard dog. Yeah, I'm wondering what in the world we gonna do. Cause sooner or later it's gonna get to me and you. There's a little brother on the corner selling them things out of his pocket. When the police come, man, he said they were bottle rocking. What in the world we gonna do? Yeah, what in the world we gonna do? Yeah, cause sooner or later, you know, boy, it's gonna get to me and you. Junkyard dog.